episode 126, Healthy Financial Boundaries with Family and Friends.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And today we are touching on having financial boundaries.
Yes. Boundaries. It's such a beautiful word when you understand them.
Yes. And we know we need financial boundaries with family, but we don't think of it so much with friends. And so we're also going to be talking about that too. So I hope everyone gets something out of this episode, even if you don't have family that is crossing those boundaries, though most people do. So
yeah,
I think a lot of people will get a lot of things out of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But first, our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by the Budget Buster Bootcamp.
Alliteration.
Yes. So B3 is my new mini course designed to help you stick to a budget in just 1 week. So if you find yourself busting your budget every month, then I made this course for you. There are no money saving tips in this course. There's just 5 strategies to think differently about budgeting so that you can finally stick to it and do it long term. So if you've tried budgeting and you've listened to the show for a while and it just hasn't worked for you, then head to budgetbusterbootcamp.com to learn more about the course and use the code FRIENDS, FRIENDS, to get 10% off.
Excited about that one, Jen. Just keep pumping it out. Next is saying no. Yup. You've heard this sponsor before, and they're back to remind us that no is an acceptable answer and a complete sentence.
I love those recurring committed sponsors that just keep coming at you.
It's well paying, and it is a necessary reminder. We need this reminder daily.
Only the best. Only the best sponsors on this show. So, boundaries.
Yeah.
Let's talk about them.
Let's do it.
As a licensed social worker, define a boundary for us.
Yeah. So really a boundary in, there's all sorts of definitions, surely. But to me, it's recognizing what is my responsibility and what is not.
Good.
Which sounds so simple, but I'm not trying to say that, oh, it is that simple. It is a pretty simple concept, but the reality is that there is overlap. The reason why boundaries are so tricky and we get so tripped up with them is because we do bear influence on one another. So my actions and attitudes and behaviors, while they are my own and my responsibility, they do bear weight on other people, affect other people, impact other people. And so some of that, we do have to take ownership of that, be willing to apologize or recognize, yep, I did that and maybe I'm okay with that. But not to cross over boundaries, either step over ourselves or step over another person to take on what is not our responsibility. So while it's a pretty simple concept, it can be tough to delineate those lines. And I would say it takes a lifetime to recognize where the boundary lines fall. Because the reality is also, boundary lines they're not one static thing. Our boundaries can shift and change. Our boundaries might look different in certain relationships than others. I almost describe it like if we were to take a walk down the road and just look at the different types of boundary lines that exist, we might see shrubs demarcating boundary lines. We might see fences or gates or stone walls or no wall at all or just a sidewalk meeting up with grass. Like there's all sorts, it's similar in our personal lives, our relationships, our finances. There are different types of boundaries. And so part of this process, as we talk about financial boundaries, is recognizing that they're different. It's not as if I just make one statement of, I don't lend money to people, and that's it. That's very, very rigid. It might be that I don't lend money to so-and-so, or I don't lend money without XYZ present, or that's just an example. But as an overarching explanation of boundaries in general, I would say recognizing responsibility. What's mine to pick up? What's not mine? And how do I make sure I do not pick up what does not belong to me?
Excellent. Thank you for that.
Welcome.
That was thorough. And I think a lot of people fall. I mean, it's easy to make very rigid boundaries, but it's healthier than not having any boundaries for sure. But we want to be the best version of ourselves. So we want to learn how to have appropriate boundaries and boundaries that are fluid where they need to be and rigid where they need to be. So,
yes.
Yeah. This first article is from Holly Scherer and it's When Helping Hurts, How to Set Financial Boundaries. What did you like on this one, Jill?
I like what this article has to say about boundaries and resentment. And so my perspective on this is when we are determining where our boundary lines fall, resentment and bitterness are usually good indicator signs that a boundary has been or is being crossed. Where we start to perceive this inside of ourselves, usually it's an indicator of, oh, why am I experiencing this? It might be because of a boundary that has yet to be discovered, is already there, and I just need to perceive it a bit better. And so some of the reasons that resentment or bitterness might come in, they list out three reasons in this article. It is expectations, manipulation, lending, these different things that can lead to bitterness, resentment, a boundary line being crossed. And so they talk about expectations, maybe that you, a hope that you had or somebody else had of you, and maybe being disappointed and that leading to, boundary lines being crossed, or where there might be manipulation of somebody trying to get you to do something that maybe you're not comfortable with by using different types of guilt tactics or relational tactics to get you to do something to sidestep what it is that you might feel comfortable with. And another common thing that can lead us to resentment would be lending money, where we're not comfortable doing that, or maybe we don't have the money to lend. So these kind of three different categories that they list out. Certainly, I think there's more than this. This is not a comprehensive list, but I think important to look at these areas, how they play a role in our lives and whether we're perceiving boundary lines for ourselves in these areas.
Yeah. I want to touch more on the manipulation part, because I feel like this is a big thing in families, especially immediate family members, is that people will use guilt, shame, threats, triangulation, blame, bribery, even lies to make you feel responsible for something financially. So whether that's supporting a family member or not just lending money, but there are a lot of ways that you can be manipulated out of your money, and the family is trying to make you think that it's your responsibility for toxic reasons, in toxic ways. So, and this is something that definitely will take some outside help. Like, you're not going to figure this out by listening to a podcast. And so I'm actually very excited about our sponsor, our literal sponsor today, to help help out with this, but we'll talk about that later. So yeah, it's definitely something that you need to go through and work out to figure out, oh my gosh, that, I mean, she is trying to guilt me. She is trying to shame me. He is bribing me or blaming me into making me think that this financial thing is my responsibility.
Well said. And I will want to highlight the fact that usually, particularly in family dynamics, there are deep-rooted patterns that will not just disappear overnight because we've heard of this term called boundaries. It will take lots of work and personal clarity and confidence in the boundaries that you're perceiving to be able to move forward well. Anytime we set a new boundary where it has not been before, people will push against it. Mm-hmm. People will not just immediately respect boundary lines. And it will often disrupt, especially where there are established patterns of relating previously. It's not going to be an easy thing to implement or even an easy thing to identify as you know, the person trying to set these boundaries. So I will echo what you're saying, Jen, of needing assistance in this process, preferably by a trained professional who can help be another perspective, an unbiased perspective, to be able to point some of these things out, give you a script to be able to do this, and help you with the confidence that you need to be able to stick to that thing until it becomes the new established pattern, where we train people how to treat us. And there will be a training process in this, depending on, too, how unhealthy the established pattern is. I mean, if we're talking about guilt, shame, threats, triangulation, lies, blame, bribery, holy smokes, that's not just a one-man job if you are caught up into that vortex of things. And when it comes to money, yeah, it can get very, very messy. And therapy, counseling, wise counsel can be very, very useful if this is the type of situation you find yourself in.
Yeah. And I think it's not just, so sometimes we associate these with like negative emotions and experiences, but you can have poor financial boundaries with your family, even if you associate it with positively, like with success and like you're, you know, you've been successful, you have money and you're taking care of people. Or even if you don't have money, you just are such a people pleaser and you enjoy helping people. And so this like brings you joy. Just because it brings you joy doesn't mean it's healthy. Mm-hmm. So boundaries are even more important for you because you don't want to one day like build bitterness and resentment after nobody appreciates you for so many years and all you doing this. I'm not saying that will happen, but even if you feel anytime that this is like a financial matter, that something with your money involves your finances, then you have to take a look at it and hopefully get a third party to look at what's going on. So whether that is a counselor that's maybe helping you through some like family stuff. I mean, this happens a lot after, you know, maybe somebody passes away and somebody has to take on a mortgage or some other kind of loan or something. Then maybe your people are expecting you to be the one to take grandma's house because of where you're at. But like financially, that's not where you are or something like that. So it can be so many different things. And it's definitely healthy to get a third party, a neutral party to look at it, whether it's counseling or whether it's, you know, an attorney or whatever, whatever works in the situation.
Yeah, it's such a good point. It's not just about means, whether or not I have the means. Certainly, it's advisable to not be helping or financially to extreme amounts if you don't have the money to do that. So yes, that's true. And it is also true, as even the title of this article is communicating, just helping, even if you have the means to do so, has the potential of actually hurting or causing harm. That there is a space that we can step into that is taking away from another person's autonomy or ability to learn, do for themselves, right? That like teach a man to fish or like just give him a fish kind of concept. And this is going to sound a little bit hokey, but I do think it's an excellent illustration that similar to this concept of potentially hurting where we actually think we might be helping. If we were to think about, I use this illustration sometimes even in counseling because boundaries is where a lot of the counseling does go. It is a complicated topic. It can be. Is to think about a butterfly. Granted, butterflies are not actually my favorite. I get it that they're pretty, but at the end of the day, they're still an insect. But here you go. Butterflies, we all know, start from caterpillars. When they are in their cocoon and coming out of their cocoon, preparing to be that beautiful butterfly insect, it's quite a struggle for them to come out of their cocoon. And to the untrained, naive, maybe even potentially ignorant person could think, let me just go help like tear open that cocoon, let this butterfly like fly free sooner than what they could have, or let's save them from the struggle. And in reality, if we were to do that, we would weaken the butterfly's muscles. They would not be able to actually fly away. It kills the butterfly to open up their cocoon and not allow them to do it themselves. I think that this concept does relate sometimes into this boundaries conversation, particularly financial boundaries, that sometimes saving someone from a struggle is not actually helping them. It can actually hurt or stunt their growth, their ability to move forward, build their own skill sets, become more independent in this process. So even if we have the ability to come break open that cocoon, there are times when we shouldn't. This, of course, is different for every person. It does require our own introspection, our own look at patterns. And so that's a big, if I could, you know, pull out a tip in this little conversation right now, it would be to look at patterns of, is this friend or family member constantly coming to you for money? Are they constantly forgetting their wallet? Do they constantly need reminders to reimburse you for XYZ? Okay, that's a good indicator sign that there needs to be a boundary established. We're not talking about your one-off friend situation where they really hit a rough patch and they're asking for some help. We're talking about really needing to establish some boundaries where we are seeing patterns of unhealth, which we can identify in ourselves by looking for those indicator signs of bitterness and resentment and starting to identify, okay, so what do I need to do here? Or there could be our own pattern. Maybe it's not necessarily with a specific person, but our own pattern of, why do I keep picking up the bill every time I go out to a restaurant with anybody? That might be a personal issue than it is an issue of other individuals. And if you're walking away with resentment of, why am I always the one? Why am I the one who XYZ? Why does everything always fall on me? If you find yourself asking that question a lot or versions of that question, it's an indicator sign that probably boundaries need to come into place. Maybe you're having difficulty saying no. Maybe you are feeling your own internal sense of guilt and shame that is not being put on you by other people. A lot of different layers here. But ultimately, to go back to my first point here of being careful to not save people from a struggle, clouding it in this, I'm helping. You might not be. You might be hindering. You might be creating a dependence that's not necessary.
Yeah, but it's so hard to identify whether that is a hindrance or an actual help. And it's messy. And it is going to take some, I mean, it might take some times of messing that up to understand it, to learn it. It's not cut and dry. It's messy.
Oh, my word. There are landmines all over this thing. And that is okay. It's okay if we walk away from a situation being like, oh, that was a boundary line that was just crossed. And I didn't really realize it at the time, but now I do. It's what we do with those things and how we choose to move forward. And still being kind and generous along the way, but beginning to be a bit more discerning with, was that kind and generous, or was that maybe even hurtful, but shrouded in this generosity that's not actually a generosity? So really, yeah, just starting to ask these questions to ourselves is a great place to begin. And there's no shame in messing up in the process.
Yes, absolutely. So then the article goes on to kind of explain how to prevent resentment. One of the tips she gives is to give without expectation of getting anything in return. So give freely and joyfully, not because you feel guilty or manipulated. Again, even if you are giving freely and joyfully, observe if there is a pattern to that, because you may be hindering without realizing it, you know, at your family's expense.
Yeah. And I think this is a great tip to consider every time you are, you might pay for something for another person or lend money. I would say to do it with no expectation of getting it back. If you can do it with that in mind and you feel comfortable with that, then great, move forward. If you are like, no, if I never see this money again, that will ruin relationship. Okay, don't do it. That's a good indicator sign that this probably is not the best choice for you in the situation. And it is okay to say no. Just because somebody asks for something, if you can't do it, whether because financial means or your own personal boundary lines, being able to move forward in integrity and right relationship, then don't do it.
Mm-hmm. I love this one. She says, also consider if what they're going to do with the money aligns with your values. So if you're a disciplined spender, would it challenge you to give to somebody who spends frivolously or irresponsibly? Or if this person does things that you don't agree with, you know, whether it's socially, personally, career, whatever, if it doesn't align with your values and the way you would spend your money, then you don't have to give money to that person.
If someone's in a bind on paying their rent because they just went on a frivolous vacation, not a luxurious vacation, and now they can't pay rent, that might be a good opportunity to let that little butterfly struggle and learn from the struggle. All of our choices have consequences to them, and just rescuing somebody from maybe their own situation that they found themselves in, it's possible that we are not honoring or dignifying a person by rescuing from them from a situation that could provide an excellent learning experience.
Even if it is really difficult. Yeah.
Some ways to consider helping friends or family members without hurting them, as this article continues to go on to say, is look at alternative ways to assist somebody who might be having difficulty financially. If we are recognizing, you know what, this may not be the best time to be giving them money or paying for something, is there another way that I can still stay invested in this relationship? One of those ways could be to help them create a budget. If you are in a situation where you understand finances maybe a little bit better than the person that you're trying to help, then volunteer to sit down with them, look at what they make, what their expenses are, help them to identify ways that they can afford life in the future. And my goodness, is that a teaching a person to fish over giving them a fish?
Yeah. And so this may not be feasible for every family member. I know I think about this one, and I can't tell you how many times I offered to help my mom with her budget, but she didn't want me to know what she was making or any of that. So that may not always be an option, but bringing over a home cooked meal. I mean, every once in a while, that can be a help, or dropping off some groceries. People also don't want to feel like they are a charity case. Mm-hmm. So figuring out how to help without giving money directly, or without compromising your own finances directly, and not making them feel like charity. So difficult, so messy, but can be done. You just have to think about the person, what they need, and kind of tailor it for that. But I know home cooked meals are definitely good, offering up your cousin a bag of the clothes that you're getting rid of, just being like, hey, I didn't want to bring this to the thrift store before offering it to someone. Would you want to look through it? Mm-hmm. And they can say yay or nay, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. And ultimately, if you don't feel good about a situation, you don't have to do it. You are not obligated to, say yes to everything. As mm-hmm. we've mentioned before, you can allow peace to guide you in this process. What does it feel unsettling? Maybe you can't quite put your finger on why this doesn't feel right. That's okay. You can press the pause button for now, identify what it is that you're experiencing inside yourself, and then decide how you want to move forward. Again, going back to this, what's my responsibility, what's not my responsibility? Again, pretty simple, but it can help us to have these things listed out. I would encourage anybody to do this process. Literally on a piece of paper, have two columns that, one is my responsibility, what's mine, what's not mine. And it can be as simple or as complicated as you want it to be, but the simplest forms are my choices, my actions, my behaviors, my bills, keep naming it. Okay, what's not mine? Usually it's the exact opposite of what is yours. Other people's bills, other people's choices, other people's actions. This can be a really helpful visual when we come upon these tricky situations, to come back to this list and say, okay, where does this fall? Whose is this? And if you determine it is not your responsibility, then yes, you can just ultimately say no. Or you can decide, how do I want to move forward with something that's not mine, that doesn't step over somebody else's boundary lines? Is there a way I want to come alongside and assist that also doesn't cross my boundaries, that I can feel comfortable with? Some sort of middle ground, radical middle territory, where I am owning me and this person is owning themselves. And yet we are interconnected in that process. Again, aspects of this are going to need some counseling assistance, somebody who might be outside of a very complicated situation to help you see and think clearly. But at least that visual can be a helpful tool to navigate some of these tricky things.
Absolutely. Awesome. So we're going to transition a little bit. A lot of that can be taken into our next phase, but we want to talk about boundaries, financial boundaries with friends, because they're different, because it's not so often that your friends will be asking you questions as intimate as your family would. But there are still financial boundaries that we need to set with friends that we don't always think about. So our next article is from Workable Wealth, and it's called How to Set Better Money Boundaries, and it's by Mary Beth Storjahan. She's a certified financial planner and the author of Work Your Wealth. So she's a brilliant personal in the world of personal finance. And so I love how she kind of defines these financial frenemies.
I love it. Yes.
It's so real, and you don't think about it until you hear it.
Mm-hmm. It's great to name it. And I think mm-hmm. a list like this can help us to see, okay, this is what we're talking about. This is why I feel uncomfortable in these types of situations. Naming it is the first step always, and can help us in this process. So yeah, I'd love to just go through this list of financial frenemies to help us get a better handle on what are we talking about? Where are the places we might need some greater boundaries?
Yes. Okay. I'll name the first three and then I'll let you go through the nice. Next ones. But okay, so the first one is the entitled frenemy. It's the person that says, can you pick up the tab just this one time? Mm-hmm. The second is the budget buster. And she or he would say, you should buy it. Treat yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's the funnest one.
That's all mine. I have been that friend. I have been the budget buster friend. And we've all been... Have. We have all been somebody on this list, if not multiple people mm-hmm. on this list. The third is the one-upper. You got a $100 gift card as a holiday gift from work? Nice. I got a $10,000 raise during my annual review. Mm-hmm. Totally unrelated.
Mm-hmm. That's just Why? An enemy. Yeah. Right. I don't even know if that's a frenemy. That just...
It's good to like hear these things and you can identify like, oh no, that's me. And you can stop that.
Yes, yes. The fourth on the list is the priors. They would say something like, how much do you make? How much did that cost you?
I've done that. Like the cost, how much did that cost?
Yeah. The next is the green-eyed monster. They would sound like this. Must be nice that you can afford such a big house. And the sixth is the FOMO frenemy. You can spend your money just this once.
Usually on an experience or like something you don't want to miss out on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So we all have these friends and we have all been these friends. Mm-hmm. And they are people trying to, you've set a boundary, you've set a financial boundary, and this person is trying to break that. So you've saved and you've budgeted for your house. This frenemy is going to try and make you feel guilty for spending that. Like you've said something's out of your budget and your friend is going to try and be like, oh, just this once, do it, or you deserve it. Mm-hmm. So being aware of what friends say, and they a lot of times are doing it like nicely, like you deserve it, like do this, buy it. It's on sale. It's such a great deal. I told you about it. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it in kindness, but it is a boundary breaker.
Yeah. And none of this means, oh, don't hang out with that person anymore.
Absolutely not.
Because it is our responsibility to maintain our boundaries. It is not somebody else's responsibility. We often want to put that over onto other people. And again, that's a boundary issue. To expect other people to hold and maintain your boundaries is giving over responsibility that ultimately belongs to you. And so being able to know, how can I respond in this situation? And again, coming back to the statement of, we train people how to treat us. Of course, this is barring abusive situations and relationships. But in our common everyday relationships, our non-abusive relationships, we train people how to treat us. And so somebody can say these things all they want. That is fine. It is up to us to identify whether or not it's okay. That's another way Brené Brown describes relation or boundaries, is what's okay and what's not okay. Again, a very simple definition for something quite complicated, can be quite complicated, but it's not a problem that somebody else asks, can you pick up the tab just this one time? It is a problem if that is a boundary line that you're not comfortable with and then you do it. You are crossing over your own boundary in that situation. It is okay if you are not okay with that to say, actually, no. I am comfortable paying for my food if you can pay for your food as well. That's great. That is a workable way to cover our dinner expenses tonight. Of course, in your own words, but yes, that feels uncomfortable. But my goodness, this person just asked you to pay for their food. So
yeah,
you have ownership in this situation with what your decision is. So in any of these six examples that were just given by this article, there is a way to respond that can maintain relationship if we continue to want relationship with that person and sets our boundaries and trains people how to treat us.
Yeah. If that person is being bold and asking you to pay for their dinner, it gives you permission to be bold back and say, actually, I didn't budget for this. You can always blame the budget.
Yes, that's good scapegoat.
Right? Nobody's going to argue with that. Sorry, I didn't budget for this much. I only budgeted for this much.
You don't even have to be sorry.
Right. You don't have to be sorry.
Just say no.
I always say sorry, even if I'm not sorry. You know, that's just me.
Such a habit.
Yeah. Or even if they ask to split the check and theirs was more than you, be like, oh, no, I really prefer separate checks. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say why. Mm-hmm. They know why.
They know why. They got the three drinks and you got the water. So
they know why.
Yes. So I want to go into some strategies for supporting friends or family. They give some great ideas on here. How we can respond. So we don't want to just leave you with identifying boundary lines, although that is great, but what do we do? So again, this is a reiteration of something we've already talked about, but I think good to say again. The first tip that they give is to look at the money as a gift, not a loan. So if you do end up paying for somebody's bill or giving money, to be able to give it freely, not anticipating anything in return, not anticipating that they are going to pay you back. Just, can I give this freely as a gift? And if the answer is yes, then great. Go ahead and do it because you feel free in doing so.
Yeah. Or even if somebody wants you to do an activity with them that you would not have, but the activity is like very important to them, view your spending money on that as a gift. Like, don't hold it against them. Mm-hmm. But also make expectations clear for the future. Mm-hmm. So it's okay if this, you know, to do it once, even if in hindsight you look back and that was a mistake. Like, how are you going to know unless you did it? Yeah. You're going with your gut and you're doing it. But make expectations clear for the future if you know in the future you will not do that activity or spend that money again.
Yes, making expectations clear, verbalizing it. That's so
don't
important.
Let them think that you will do it again or this is a recurring thing. To be unclear is to be unkind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even if it's difficult, do the difficult thing and be clear. So also, like our sponsor from this week, when in doubt, say no.
Yeah, and then see how you feel.
Yeah. I will say one more thing about this article that really like hit home. It's the section on set better money boundaries with yourself. Because she says setting money boundaries with others can be challenging, but setting boundaries with yourself can be even more difficult.
Yes.
Because sometimes for me, I am that frenemy. I am the person saying I deserve this. Or I am the person feeling guilty about how much I spent for something I budgeted for. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, saying, oh, I can do it just this once and then next month I'll be much better. Mm-hmm. It's I am my problem most of the time. I am my own frenemy.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So learn to train yourself how to treat yourself first. And
yes,
then begin implementing these things with others.
Yeah.
Great tip.
Yeah. You know what else is a great tip?
Oh, gosh. It's the best tip of the week. It's the
Bill of the Week.
Minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hey, Jen. Hey, Jill. This is Allie. I wanted to tell you my favorite bill of the week, which is part of mine and my roommate's new favorite frugal activity, which is going to the park, is the little duck bills on all the tiny little duck babies that we see every time we go. They're adorable and they're free to look at and they're so cute. Anyway, thanks you guys. That's my bill of the week.
As it should be.
Yes, Allie, I've been waiting for somebody to give me that duck bill, and you came up with it in such a beautiful, creative way.
Baby duck bills.
Little baby duck bills on your frugal walk with a friend at the park.
And it's free to look at. So you're like cutting down on your rent, and you guys are still friends.
Coming up with it. Bills of the week. Yes, duck bills, baby duck bills.
Baby duck bills, baby buffalo bills, baby Bill baby Clinton.
Just baby bills.
Just think about more baby bills. Bill Clinton was bills.
A baby at one point. That's funny.
Thank you for affirming me. So healthy financial boundaries sometimes involve more help than a podcast episode can provide. So that's why we're so glad to have BetterHelp as our sponsor. BetterHelp offers online counseling and therapy services in a broad range of expertise, some of which may not be locally available in many areas.
It's so true. Finding somebody online sometimes can be the better route. I mean, you know, I am biased online, or as some people would say, telehealth counseling, because I think it makes counseling super accessible. You don't have to get in your car and go somewhere. You can be in the comfort of your own home. It cuts out travel costs, so there is a frugal component to it. I think it just makes it super accessible for people.
Yeah, for sure. And BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online, and it's available for clients worldwide. You can start communicating in under 48 hours via text messages, chat, video, or phone sessions, whatever you choose.
And as a Frugal Friends listener, you get 10% off your first month when you sign up at betterhelp.com/frugal. That's betterhelp.com/frugal. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. So we highly recommend giving them a try. Oh, if you want to submit your bill of the week, if it is any kind of baby bill, all the better. But, you know, anything related to bill or bills will do. Go to frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. Leave us your bill. We will be entertained, overjoyed.
And take it too far.
Talk about it and laugh about it for far too long.
Yes.
Thank you for humoring us.
And now it's time for
the lightning round.
So today we're talking about our financial boundary stories, and it's not all of them. I'll just share one big one that stands out. For me, I could go on and on about my family, emotional, financial boundaries that I experience. But I think one that might be more relevant and more helpful is when I was a bridesmaid. One time I was a bridesmaid and I was asked to chip in for the bridal shower cost. So I totally understand bachelorette party, like you pay for the bride and, you know, you expect that to be a little bit more. But for the bridal shower, I wasn't expecting that. I was like, this going to be cheap. We're going to be paying for some food and that's it. And so I hear from the maid of honor that my responsibility for the bridal shower is I think it was like over $100. And she had like six bridesmaids. I remember it being just very outrageous, but I only paid 100 of it. And here's why. So I'd set a financial boundary, but I hadn't been vocal about it. I was paying off debt at the time. We'd only been paying off debt for a few months. So we were very passionate about it. We did not make that a secret. We definitely talked about how we were on a budget. We were, doing things. I made my wedding super inexpensive, like as cheap as possible, to not put a financial burden on my bridesmaids, but I only had three. And so without being consulted, I just get this quote unquote bill from, you know, one of my best friends. And I was super hurt. So there were two boundaries. Both of us were in the wrong. So I didn't make my budget known. And honestly, I didn't have a budget. I just assumed that the bridal shower would be not expensive. Mm-hmm. And so hers was, she didn't consult anybody on what she was doing. She did whatever she wanted and then just gave us the bill for it. She rented out a venue, had professional catering, along with all of the normal things that you do, and just expected us all to pay for it. I found out years later, actually, I wasn't the only one upset about it. And I wasn't the only one that said, somebody else said that I specifically would be upset about it. So it's not that I made, it's not that I hid that we were on a budget, yeah. Which made me feel a little bit better. But so that was actually a point of contention for us for a long time. And like, we got through it. But that was a point I put my foot down and I was like, I will only pay this much. It's what I had budgeted for. I'm sorry if that seems rude. But you should have consulted me and I could have told you what my budget was. And maybe you would have, gone with something cheaper. I don't know.
It's different approaches to money that we collide with. And I think you see how others approach their own finances when you get into shared experiences like that. Yes. I think the same can happen when you're on vacation with people together or weddings are a perfect example. All sorts of situations where we can see some people do not think about it. They just spend whatever it takes. But then the problem is where that's expected of other people. And this is a problem on both sides of not communicating those expectations. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to, that this person did not communicate that this is what they were going to do. And you did not have opportunity to communicate prior to about that thing, or even necessarily have the forethought that this is something I could run into in this situation. But now you know. And I am sure that in other situations where weddings have happened, that now you've had this experience to speak from and say, okay, how are we handling finances? It's uncomfortable, but it takes the guesswork out of it to say, how is bridal shower being paid for? How is bachelorette being paid for? What kinds of dresses are we going for? What can we anticipate costs are going to be for all of us? And what are we comfortable with?
Yeah, it definitely. Now I'm currently a bridesmaid right now, has made me cognizant of being vocal and honest and not just like playing into just because everybody else is doing it, I have to spend money on it, stuff like that. So, yeah, that's my story.
Yeah, sticking to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a couple of examples. I don't only want to talk about the areas that I crush it. So I'll start here. I will say that this is it is and continues to be a learning experience for me of where are my boundary lines? They are different probably than yours, Jen, or from anybody else that I could pass on the street. And that's okay, that we're all going to have different boundaries, but we need to know where ours are. And I would say that when I was young 20s, I didn't know this concept and had a lot of faux pas as a result of this. One particular thing comes to mind that I had a friend who was moving, and, you know, to be helpful, I was like, hey, what? How can I help? I'm headed over there now. What do you need from me? And they said, oh, actually, that's great. We're up to our knees, you know, moving boxes. Would you be able to pick up pizzas for everybody? And so on the fly, I did that, picked up a ton of pizzas. At the time, I was very broke, like beyond broke. Did not have a high paying job and had a lot of student loans. And I picked up all the pizzas expecting and anticipating that my friend who was moving would pay me for those things. But I never asked. And she, no malicious intent at all, or probably even thinking about it, I think she was so caught up in the move itself that I never got reimbursed for those pizzas. I probably spent close to, if not more than $100 feeding everybody who was helping this person move.
Oh my goodness.
On their moving day. Yeah, a tricky one for sure, but could have been remedied by me just speaking my needs. Either being okay with, okay, this is just a cost that I am willing to incur, or I can't afford this and I need to actually just ask for this money. I did not. I just didn't have it in me at the time to have asked. I wish I would have.
Well, now we have Venmo. And you don't even have to ask. You just charge them on Venmo.
Exactly.
But I think
what I take from that is, I mean, first of all, okay, I'm not hurting from that money to this day, but it did show me I can't put that responsibility on other people. Ultimately, that's not her fault that she did not pay me. I didn't ask. I didn't speak my needs. And I'm the one who offered, what do you need? And so maybe being a little bit more specific about what I'm able to do, as in if I could have anticipated, hey, do you need me to pick up some pizzas and then you can just pay me when I get there, right? Like even that in a simple text ahead of time could have been what would have been helpful in the moment. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, I've learned from that. My takeaway now is to communicate my expectations and my needs, if possible, ahead of time. So an example of how I do this currently, or how I have done this in more recent years, you've probably heard, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, that Eric and I have a shared family boat with his parents. We no longer get to enjoy it because we live in Florida and the boat is still back up in PA. Anyhow, we will often have weekends where we get to take the boat out and we invite a lot of friends. There was a time when we wouldn't say anything about it. We would just take friends out, but then come to realize, oof, we provided snacks. We paid for the gas. We paid to tow the thing. Maybe there was a cost to drop the boat into the water. It easily could is about $100 when it comes to food, gas, all these things to take the boat out for a day. And there would be times where I'd experience bitterness inside myself because of that. But I realized if I speak my needs ahead of time, most likely people are not going to have a problem chipping in. So we would send out with the invite text, hey, bring your own snacks and $5 a person to chip in for gas. Everybody was thrilled with it. We get to go out on a boat, and I was able to speak my needs and not have my own boundaries crossed. It was a fantastic compromise just because I was able to speak up for myself and communicate ahead of time. It is much easier to ask for these things ahead of time than afterwards. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, that was actually $20. Similar to what you're describing, Jen, that feels unfair. It's like, well, you didn't tell me that. I would have probably made a different decision if you had spoken that ahead of time. You kind of chose for me that now I owe you this amount of money. So, yeah, again, there are landmines all over this. It's okay to mess up, but let's learn from these things. Let's speak our needs. Let's communicate expectations. Let's identify where our boundary lines fall and be kinder to ourselves and ultimately kinder to other people as a result.
Absolutely. Be clear and be kind. So thanks so much for listening. We want to thank you for your kind reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, like this one from CY Burbs, a new tool in my tool belt. Just happens to be 5 stars. These ladies are authentic, entertaining, and knowledgeable. They inspired me to make my first budget and feel confident on deciding on a 401k account. Woo-woo. Awesome. I feel most millennials my age don't know what they're doing when it comes to money and financial planning. I will not be one of them because of this podcast. What? I truly appreciate that they touch on how frugality affects the environment and topics of self-care.
CY Burbs.
Yes.
We're getting such kind, genuine reviews.
Yes, I'm here for it.
And, you know, keep leaving them because we thank you, our listeners and friends, who share these episodes on social media. When you share the latest episode on Facebook or Instagram, we add you to our monthly drawing. For every 5 tags and reviews, like the one Jen just read, we give away each month 1 copy of the Frugal Friends workbook. So 1 copy of the workbook for every 5 tags or reviews we get.
Yes. Yeah, so keep leaving us reviews on iTunes or Stitcher and sending screenshots to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And when you tag us at frugalfriendspodcast on social, we will see that.
See you next week.
Bye.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
So much freedom with boundaries.
I know. It's like the budget is a boundary for your money, and like boundaries are freedom for your mental headspace.
So true.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's one of the reasons that I feel such a deeper friendship and connection with you too. Because I think with any friendship, finances are a part of it. And the fact and a difficult thing to talk about. But because you and I talk about finances weekly together, I feel like we understand each other more and are willing to get into that territory in a way that's like not offensive and gives greater freedom in the friendship.
Yeah. Can I have $5?
Nope. Back to our sponsor. Yeah. Okay, bye.